Morena tātou. Okay, so I just want to thank Esther for explaining her views on why it's so important that we're here today to help restore the relationship that was broken at the founding of two parents to this nation. So all who come to New Zealand will feel like New Zealand is their home.
Kia ora tātou. Ko Nanga Taha, toku moanga, ko Hamirana toku awa, ko Empress toku waka. Ko Ngāti Pākehā toku iwi, ko Black toku hapu. Ko Lorna Black toku mama, ko William Black toku papa, ko Carrie Ann toku wahine toa. Ko Bruce Black taku inoa, ko Brianna Black taku tamahine, and ko Lachlan Black taku tama. Tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe. Oh, give him a paki-paki. Even though he's Ai tuatahi ka mihi au ki te atua nui te rangai, te tama, me te matua, me te wairua tapu. Kia koe te rangatira, Scott, tēnā koe mō tō tono kia tai mai, tēnei rā, tēnā koe me tō hāpuri, or ascend, tēnā koutou katoa. Ki aku hoa, me taku whānau, tēnā koutou katoa. Nau mai, haramai, kei Wainganui a tātou, ki runga i te kaupapa o te rā, God, the taonga, and the church. Okay, so the scriptures identify four things that defile the land and people. Does anyone know what those four things might be? Come on, put your hands up. Okay, we've got bloodshed. If you look at Genesis, Psalms, Numbers, idolatry in Isaiah, sexual immorality, Leviticus, and fourth is broken covenants. We're going to leave your pastor, your apostle, to talk about the other three things. Today we're going to be talking about the broken covenant that I've referred to as the taonga and the role that we as Christians played at before the treaty was signed, at the time of the signing, and continue to play in the restoration and reconciliation of Māori to Pākehā and to this land for the purposes of God. Kei te pai tēnā? Ka pai? Okay. So first, as Esther's already pointed out, we're a prophetic people, and some things that I'm about to say aren't going to be anything new to you. So as we all know that at the beginning... Sorry, paperwork, hey? Got it in big, bold, 26 font, so I didn't need my glasses this morning. And nothing was actually going to stop me from getting here, not even a drain coming off from the side here, so if I look kind of wonky-donky, that's why. But my husband thought that I should share, firstly, a dream that God gave me. And it was a dream about a year ago, just over a year, and it was I dreamt I was pregnant, real hapu, like I was really big. And I had this baby within me. And my waters broke, and then I was getting ready to give birth, and then I looked down at my puku, and my puku was, there was no baby there, you know? And I was like, oh no, I know the baby's in there somewhere, I'm going to push it out. And so when I pushed this baby out, it was an ugly baby, okay? So when I asked Cindy Ruakiri, what did that mean? She's a prophetic singer. She said that the water symbolises the... Oh, I've completely lost the word. The revival. Water always symbolises revival. And so the breaking of the water is the revival that God wants to do in this nation. But the baby being so ugly is why we're here today, because it's not an easy topic to talk on. You know that there's going to be resistance. And so I just pray that during this session we have an open heart and we listen, we'll do a bit of teaching. So let's not be like those ugly babies, eh? So I'm going to start from at the beginning of our country's beginning. And some of you might know this story. In the beginning we had not... I won't go to the beginning of Genesis, but in Kupe, when his wife, the first Māori explorer to this land, he saw Aotearoa, oh no, his wife saw the land and she said, he ao, he ao, he Aotearoa. She goes, there's a cloud, there's a really long cloud. That's why we're known as the land of the long white cloud. But prophetically, that was talking of the Holy Spirit. There was a spirit hovering over our land, Aotearoa. And as we all know, so that's Mark 1, prophetic. The second one was in 1606, and some of us might know about this too, when the Catholic priest, Pope, sent a particular person to the uncharted southern islands. He said, can you turn the pages? Oh, yeah, we're still on, sir. To the Great South Uncharted Islands, he landed in Vanuatu in 1606. On that day of Pentecost, he grabbed something which was a bit like that, and a sword, and he stabbed it in the ground. And he declared, let the heavens, let the earth, and those present witness that I, Captain Pedro Fernandes de Queiroz, in the name of Jesus Christ, take possession of all the lands of the south as far as the South Pole in the name of Jesus Christ, which from now on shall be called the southern lands of the Holy Spirit. See a connection going on here. So if you're geographically minded, you've already figured out that not only are we south of Vanuatu, so is Australia. So that's Kaiti Pai, eh? They can share our blessings. Anyway, we also know that come forward 40 years after that, we had Abel Tasman, who partially named and mapped Nouveau-Zélandia. So the new zeal of the land, which is coincidentally what Fernandes actually prophesied in 1606. And 3 years before Captain Cook, now this is really exciting, which comes back to Māori prophecy. 3 years before Captain Cook stood foot in New Zealand, a Māori tohunga, a seer, he had a dream. And he dreamt that there was going to be a new people come to this land. They were a fair people. He named them Pākehākehā, which is the mystical people on these ships, these fair-skinned, mystical people on the ships. And so the word Pākehā is not a derogatory term. It's actually a prophetic term of what God was calling in our nation way back, 3 years before Captain Cook got here. So can we agree today that we will not see it as a derogatory term? And when we use it with pride and, you know, the Spirit of God that's fused through that. Can we do that? Yeah. But it's what Toiroa said that should interest each one of us today. Because I believe that all Christians need to know, and I thank Pastor Scott for allowing this baby to be born here today. And I'm hoping that this will open doors to that big baby that I've been waiting to release. Yes, for Jesus Christ. But what he said was, these Pākehākehā, these mystical people of the sea, will bring with them a new God. He would be a good God. Who agrees that Jesus is a good God? His name, he even named him. He said his name would be Te Tama I Rorokūtia. So Te Tama I Rorokūtia is the Son who was crucified. And Jesus died for all our sins. Awesome, right? But, there's always a but. Don't you hate it when there's a but at the end of something really great? But he also said that even with this good God coming to our land, our people will still be oppressed. That's pretty sad, right? If we look at all the statistics for Māori today, we can actually see the oppression, the consequences of a broken covenant, and the consequences of the oppressed being in a land for so many years. But I believe that you are a prophetic people too, and that you, if we can pray and make a declaration here today to break that second part of the curse, because I don't think it's ever been broken. So can we do that with our heads held up? If we just bow our heads, Father Lord, we give thanks for this land, Aotearoa, the new zeal of the land that you've given each one of us here today. Father Lord, we break that curse over our nation, and that the Māori people will still be oppressed. Father, that they will walk in the sonship that comes through knowing you, Lord Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, over all this nation. Father, that reconciliation for Māori and for Pākehā will begin in our hearts. You can move mountains. It is not over yet. So, Father Jesus, we welcome you here into our hearts today and do what you had planned for this nation. Set the captives free. Restore them to you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Sorry, son, I borrowed your taiaha. My son out there, mana, kapai. Okay. So, look, we're still on page one. So for those who are slide counters, who's slide counters in here? So there's only six slides. This is one of them, so five to go. And the last two are really short, so the first ones are really long. We've done that. Babe, you're meant to turn the pages. God. That's why I've got him up here. No, I haven't. He's got a very important role to play today.
That's what the taiha's for, just to hit me if I miss the prompts.
Yeah, so my hope here today is to share. Now, I hope I hit the right button, and I'm meant to point it up there. Let's see. Oh, you're going to talk about that emblem there, honey. There you go.
Right, there's a symbol up on the screen there. Does anyone know what that symbol is?
Pardon?
What
was
it?
National emblem?
No, it's actually
That's
the
close.
New Zealand coat of arms is what they call it. And it's a government symbol. And it's really, if you look at it, it etymises what the treaty was all about, really.
Coincidentally.
Yeah. Coincidentally, for the last 21 years, I've worn it on my shoulder at work every day.
And not understood what it meant.
Well, I've not really thought about it. You know, if you look at the symbol itself, the shield in the middle is split into two parts, which symbolises the North and South Island. And in the middle, the white bit symbolises the Cook Strait and the ships, the trade that our country relies on. On the right and left, we've got the bicultural nature of New Zealand. You see that they're both standing on equal footing, Māori and Pākehā, with the crown in the middle as really a governing body in this relationship. And that's really how our relationship's supposed to be. Clearly it hasn't been that for some time.
Okay. So with post-treaty land confiscations, bloodshed on the land, for Māori it's like somebody coming to your house to stay the night, then turning around on you and saying, it's my house now, and you prove it's your house. So that's what it's been like for 130 years. So this land covenant, the Treaty of Waitangi, was meant to be an agreement that would bring equal partnership between Māori and Pākehā and the British Crown. But instead, it was intended for unity, like we've heard, but different understandings of the treaty and breaches of it have caused so much conflict, injustices and prevailing misunderstandings for about 130 years. And us as the church need to set that thing straight, yeah? Amen. Because we've got some pretty... Can you just... So I share the same... I'm going to share a whakatauki of the first Māori king, which was a Christian movement. So we had these chiefs in 1856, so the treaty was signed in 1840. They signed the treaty, and in 1857, they realised that it was being dishonoured. So they came together, a Christian movement of Māori chiefs, and he said, there is but, well, ko tahi anō te kōhau o te ngira I kuhuna ai. So he said, there is only but one eye of the needle that all threads must pass, the white thread, the red thread, and the black thread. So if you know your scriptures well, they're obviously making reference to the judging, the judge seat of the eye of the needle in Jerusalem. The Māoris love the scriptures. The British may have brought the Gospels to this land, but Māori spread it themselves like wildfire. Isn't that cool? And, yeah, so we're going to go on to slide two now. Where you go, hun?
The Ministry of Justice in 2019 stated that the Treaty of Waitangi is seen as a constitutional document between Māori and the Crown, embodied by the New Zealand government for all people.
Yeah, actually, we're meant to be looking at that. Sorry if we've been turning our back on you. So there are some key players in the signing of the treaty that I think, as Christians, we should be aware of. One of them is this fellow here. He's Henry Williams. He translated the Bible into Te Reo Māori, and he also translated the treaty. So he was a missionary, one of the first wave missionaries, and he really was compassionate for Māori. He didn't come to this country to change Māori. There are only two things they sought to change, not the way they did things, but in regards to utu and cannibalism. That's why we had this, the Book of Luke. That's why the first book translated in this country was the Book of Luke. And we all know what Book of Luke is about. Forgiveness and turning the other cheek. Yeah, so which was contrary to what Māori were doing at the day. Okay, so the second person, who knows this fella? Who's important? Yeah, one of your rallies. Yeah, so, okay, babe. So he is Hone Heke, Hone Heka. They're kind of, he was the uncle. So Hone Heka, he's actually known or renowned for cutting the flagpole down, but he was actually one of the first ones that convinced Māori on the day of the signing to sign the treaty. And when he realised after the signing that it wasn't being honoured, guess who was the first one to make a protest? Yep, this fella here, and he's remembered forever. He was a Christian also. So then we have this bloke, the first governor to New Zealand, William Hodgson. So he was very pleased when 500 chiefs signed the treaty, and only in Te Reo Māori version, they only signed the Reo Māori version, and only five Māori signed the English version. So what does that say? Our point in this Māori Christian, oh yes, that's the last word here, is he said, this, when they'd finished signing, he said, he iwi ko tahi tātou. And now these words have been misconstrued over the years. So we are one people. But the sad thing for Māori is, what one people did we have to become after that point to worship our Lord Jesus that we already knew? The first missionaries didn't want Māori to become Brown Pākehā. They used what was in their hand, as I've already said, and they allowed Māori to be Māori, but they kept the scriptures as the plumb line. Ka pai? So our point in this slide is, we as the church need to stop confusing spiritual unity with Christ as cultural conformity. Good? Say it one more time. We as the church need to stop confusing spiritual unity with Christ as cultural conformity. And like Esther said, God's given each of us, every culture, gifts, spiritual gifts, physical gifts, to complement each other, like in a marriage. Not compete for attention on who's the better parent. If we want to know how God feels about covenants, let us take a look in the scriptures. Good old scriptures, eh? Always keeps it real for us, the plumb line. So away you go. Here's your cue.
Yeah, so we don't have to look. Where's it? Yeah, well, the treaty is a covenant. We all know that God is a covenant God. We have an example, a marriage covenant, which is an agreement, a compact, a deal or a bargain, an understanding or a guarantee or a promise.
And a promise. That's a big word you need to keep in mind here for the next year.
In the Bible, we've got the old covenant of law and the new covenant in the New Testament
of love.
Of love. And if we want to see how God feels about covenant, all we have to do is look in Joshua, really. We look at the Gibeonite Treaty, which is a treaty of deception as the Israelites were entering the Promised Land. But the Gibeonites realised the power of the nation of Israel, and they just made the best deal they could at the time, and that was a deal of survival. If you look at the treaty in its context... If you look at the treaty in its context as well, I've sort of skipped ahead here a little bit.
Yes, you have.
Naughty. Maori were in a similar predicament in as much as some chiefs had travelled to Europe and they knew the power of the Europeans. So they needed protection from settlers that had come to New Zealand because of the way they behaved, which was fairly lawless. They sought protection from the crown, and from that came our treaty. And if you look at the Gibeonite Treaty, they did a deal in time. Saul dishonoured that treaty. They started killing Gibeonites. God saw that, and in David's time, some years later, a famine came on the land. And to resolve that problem, David sought God. And God told him it's because of Saul that this has come on the Israelites. So he went to the Gibeonites and says, what can we do to make this right? You know, he didn't come up with his own idea of what was right. He went to the Gibeonites and says, what should I do?
Yeah, so there's a key point there is that covenants have consequences and that Māori now all we ask is, you know, this covenant of the treaty, that we re-look at it and see what part we can play. So, and also to remember that at the time of the treaty was signed, there were about 200,000 Māori and there was only 2,000 non-Māori. And today we have 50% Pākehā, or you identify as European, and we have 21% Māori and Pacific, 9% and Asian, 11%. And other, identify as other, 2%. So we've got a lovely mounting pot of things to do, but let's get our first parents right and then we'll be more loving to others, yeah? Okay, so the intention for Māori was that the crown would protect Māori's sovereignty over the lands. And remember the great, fierce Māori chiefs, they didn't give up their sovereignty over their land for the queen, but they gave up their sovereignty for a God they believed in. The God in the Bible, Jesus Christ, they had heard about, who honours treaties, who honours people, who is a just God. So I just wanted to bring that context today and hope that the spirit of what I've just said, just in the Holy Spirit, just marinate that a bit further. But like Esther points out, Māori and Pākehā have different views of the world, and I'm just presenting another perspective that I have researched and God has impregnated me with. Such tribal areas have their own stories that we need to find out. And since I whakapapa to Te Aroha, I can safely bring this kōrero here as well as tūhoe. Okay. So we're just going to briefly go over this. So the intention for, these are the articles, there's four. Who knew there were four? Yeah. Okay, you will only, if you Googled it, you'd only find three, because that's how the government would like us to remember. But the fourth article is very important to us today, because it talks about our spiritual rights as Christians, guaranteeing us Christian rights. So can we just quickly go through this. So I'm going to read out the Māori version, Article 1, really quickly. Māori said that the British could govern the land. So there we go. There's that symbol at the beginning. Govern it. True partnerships, yeah? What did the English version say, Bruce?
The English version said the chiefs gave the Queen all the rights and powers of sovereignty over the land.
Sovereignty. That's a different word to kawanatanga, which is tenoranga tiratanga. So here we go. So what they wrote in the English version, 500 chiefs, so in the Māori version, Māori gave governance, not sovereignty. So Article 2, whoops, go back. Māori confirmed that they would still maintain sovereignty over their own tribal areas because we weren't Māori up until as a one people, we were a tribal people. We were known by our tribes. Captain Cook gave us that name, Māori, which means common people of the islands. And it had other variations, Mā Māori, Māori Māori, and then we've got other things talking about this, the Moriori. So let's not cause division. You know that baby that was birthed? Let's not it be snatched away and cause division. So in that one, the second one, sovereignty went to Māori. Can you see that? Is that clear? Okay, so second one, Bruce?
So in the English version, again, confirmed and guaranteed the chief's exclusive and undisturbed possession of their lands and estates, forestries and fisheries, and other properties. The Crown sought an exclusive right to deal with Maori over land transactions.
So what did that say? Yep, they said that was sovereignty. This one was pretty much the same, Article 3. We all agreed on this, we agreed on that. One of these things aren't like the other, and we can already see which one that one is. So Article 3 said assurance that would the Queen at that time would protect all rights and beliefs and as the same as British subjects. Okay, so there you go, partnership, yep.
The English version was an accurate translation as much as you can.
So already we can see a pattern, can't we? It's that Article 1. So Te Reo Māori version says e mea ana te kawana. So this one, I'm just going to say it in English, is that, you can read it out actually.
The governor says the several faiths of England, of the Wesleyans, of Rome, and also the Maori custom shall be alike protected by him. Free toleration in all matters of faith.
Okay, so everybody had their own sovereignty. Christians could safely preach the word zealously in this land, and Māori could continue doing what they do best, okay? Until they met Jesus, of course. There were four promises. The fourth declaration is not regarded by some now, since 2003, as an official article of the treaty. Some argue it was an afterthought on the day of the signing and wasn't well thought out. And due to the promises that the Christian beliefs as well as Māori beliefs would be protected, can you already see the problem in today's society? Where we have a government that doesn't like Christianity? Can we see that? They've removed it, okay, saying that it's not an official document. But if you fall back on a national Indigenous law, the Treaty of Waitangi still stands as an official article of the treaty. Ka pai? So the sooner we can unite and around this understanding, I think God can, you know, we can stand together. We can't do this alone. This is about unity. It's about understanding each other. So I won't go on to that one because I think we've been sitting too long. So I'm just going to show you this slide here. So despite all those articles we read, I can actually point something up here, can't I? All right. So this one says 1860. That was at the signing that was pretty much all Māori land. By 1860, 1890... 1910, 1939. And if we had a picture today, it would look even more dismal. And that was the promises of the treaty that said that we could maintain our lands. Did that happen? No, didn't. Okay, so that was just a visual image of the impact, not just the physical side of what happened to Māori, but also spiritually and emotionally over the past 130 years. I say that so we can have empathy with our oppressed people, with our broken people of our land, and you're part of the solution. We're coming to a really exciting slide, Sue. So where to? This is our final slide. Are you ready? So where to from here? We know that next year is 2020. You know, vision, clear vision. God wants us to have a clear vision about where we're going, especially in relationships. Where does culture fit? Jesus Christ is our cornerstone. We know that, okay? But whatever we have in our hands is what Jesus wants us to use to help the unsaved, you know, meet him under a kōrewai of love and compassion and understanding, not one of opposition. No, that's not helpful to anybody. Can we do that? So we've got two options here today, and we're going to leave you with a thought. So you could lie in the bed, okay? So bed stands for, where you go, that's your line. Oops, there you go.
So bed stands for blame. You can blame Maori for the situation, saying they sold their land, which history tells us is a lie. We can make excuses about why everyone needs to just move on.
And be one.
So we can deny, and we can deny that the treaty is important in healing our land.
Okay. Or you can pick up this thing. Or we can pick up, what's this called? In English it's called an or. But I've turned those acronyms around. We can create order, well-being. O stands for ownership. We can take ownership of our attitude and take a good hard look at ourselves. Does our idea of being Christian align to what the Bible says? I mean, how about Māori and tattooing? You know, tāmoko. Yeah, I know what the Bible says about tattoos, but you've got to understand the intent and the context of what the Bible is talking about. And if both those things come before God, okay, then let people be. Okay. Then we have R for order, for responsibility. Let's take responsibility for our own actions. What is in our hand? What is in your hand that can be instruments of reconciliation and restoration to other people who have been oppressed? What are you prepared to lay down at the cross to be the bridge between God and culture? What? Te Hahi is a great example. Learning te reo Māori, learning about the truths of the treaty, history, teaching others about peace, acceptance in the church, instead of arguing over empty, meaningless debates that cause division among Māori and Pākehā, instead of peace. The gospel that was brought to this was the gospel of peace. And lastly, order. Healthy relationships. Let's be accountable. At the end of the day, we are only accountable to one person. Well, people. One God. It's God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. For our actions and our attitudes towards people will either attract or repel believers, people to Jesus Christ. So they'll either attract or repel people to knowing about Jesus Christ. So I'm going to end with that whakatauki we started with. There is only but one eye of the needle that the thread must pass through. The white, the red, and the black. Oh. So hold on. This is what he said in the last bit. So hold fast to charity, which means love. Uphold the laws of the land and be firm in the faith of Jesus Christ. Kia ora.
Before you guys step down, I'm just going to have Jeremy and Barbara come up. So I just felt it was very important. You know, you and I got together with Esther and sort of went, we went through this, and I love debating this kind of stuff with you. And you are a worthy debater, that's for sure. But just on behalf of Ascend Church, you know, I came to New Zealand as the red, if you will, you know, and I've hemmed myself in with the black and the white to go through that eye of a needle. And so just, we want to be those who are willing to go through the eye of the needle to see that childbirth and see revival come. So I'm just going to ask these guys to pray for you because I think this message is going to go far.
Father, we thank you for your word this day. We thank you that you have placed this word in Carrie-Anne and Bruce's hearts. We thank you that it's you at the source. You go before them. You go behind them. You are the end and the beginning. And it is you that will take this word forth into this land. Lord, we just pray that as they speak, it will be, as we said earlier, a two-edged sword that pierces the hearts of the people that hear. That you will speak to each and every individual through these words that I have brought today. As they go through this land to speak to your people, the Māori, the Pākehā, and any other culture that has come to live in our country, you will speak by your Spirit to the heart of the people, that we truly would be a nation for God, how it was intended, where you are Lord of this country, where we are your people walking forward with you at the helm, where you are glorified. We pray, Father, for this marriage between Māori and Pākehā, that you will be that cornerstone. With God in the mix, a threefold cord is not easily broken. So we pray, Father, that you will be that one that binds us together with cords that cannot be broken, and you will be glorified. In it all, it is about you, that you are Lord and you are glorified in this land. And we pray your blessing upon this couple. We pray your favor upon this couple. Wherever they go, they will have the favor of the Lord, and people will see Jesus in them and the word of God coming through them. Thank you for them, Lord, and may you be glorified. In Jesus' name.
And Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for all the different cultures, Lord God, for the amazing array of colours that you've created on this earth, Lord God. We thank you for the privilege of being a people who are able to learn and to grow into this cultural relationship, Lord God, where we learn from each other and we don't stand pointing at each other's weaknesses, but we look for the gold, we look for each other's strengths, Lord God, and we look to learn and to grow from each other, Lord God. So as this marriage, Lord God, that was begun perhaps on slightly shaky ground, Lord God, as it matures, Father God, we just pray that that you would just turn things around, Lord God. Lord, we ask, Lord, that wherever Carrie-Anne and Bruce go, Lord God, that you would prepare the way before them, Lord God, that you would prepare the hearts, Lord God, that you would tear down the walls of just habit and in ways of thinking that have just cemented themselves into minds, Lord God. We pray that you would break down those walls, Lord God, and that you would draw our peoples together, Lord God, that you would draw us together, Lord God, and that you would do an incredible thing in this nation, Lord God, that we would disciple the world in this cultural restoration, Lord God. Lord, that your word would go forth, that you would be at the center, Lord God, that you would be glorified, Lord. So we glorify you, Lord God, and we bless this couple, Lord God. We say thank you for them, and we ask that you would continue to speak to them, Lord God, to give them wisdom as they walk, Lord, and bless them in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Gloria, gloria kitia tua, gloria kitia tua, kai motowehi, kia ora motina, tata. It tōku ingoa e ihu karaiti ake, ake, ake. Amen. As we just head into worship, we have the chance to lift our voices in concert, in unity, to Jesus Christ, to Ihu Kraiti. I became quite overwhelmed in worship today because as I looked around, I realized I believe for the first time in the history of our church, something that God put in my heart decades ago came to pass. We had people from South America, North America, Asia, Africa, and Europe all in the service today. That we were truly a house of prayer for all nations. And that blessed me. I believe that God has a heart for reconciliation. I believe God is just. And I don't know what that looks like, but I'm going to try. One of the foundational verses for our church, and I'm reading out of the New Living Translation this morning, is Isaiah 59, verse 19. In the West, the people will respect the name of the Lord, and in the East, they will glorify him. For he will come like a raging flood tide, driven by the breath of the Lord. So as people of the East, as people of the West, we come as a raging flood tide this morning. So let's worship together.